Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Amen. Blessed and highly flavored. Did you grab your swords this morning? We're going to sharpen them up a little bit. There's something that the Bible says. It says that God desires no man to be lost. But there will be many who will refuse the rescue. You know, God doesn't force anyone to accept him. But he sure makes it difficult not to accept him. Because he always puts things in our path and says, you know what, you need me. You know what, you need me. Those days that we're so frustrated and, man, you know, I don't know what to do. You need me. I can't believe these things are happening in my life. You need me. You know, all things are possible to those who believe and follow him. There is an area where God is trying to get us to, and that's the fullness of him. I'm going to call it spiritual fullness, or what we might consider the fullness of the Spirit. And it's amazing in how many times we are easily swayed, deceived, misled, where we stumble across our own path, our own feet. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit, I actually had a dream about something, and in this dream I was, there was a battle going on, and I was in this auditorium, like, but I was kind of like in a backstage. It was a place that an event had already occurred, and people were leaving, and the Lord was speaking to me about something. I was trying to get to the mic, and I had the mic one time, and somehow it got out of my hand, and then I was backstage in like the third or fourth floor, and the Holy Spirit said to me, get him baptized in the Holy Spirit. Get him baptized in the Holy Spirit. And man, I was running around all of these stairs and trying to get to the stage. And every time I'd think I was getting to the stage, it would be a solid wall. And I'm going, gosh, where is the door? And I was just frustrated and beating. And finally was getting to that place where I was like, this must be the door. And I woke up. And the Lord was revealing not only the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because people neglect the baptism of the Holy Spirit and don't maintain being filled in the arena of being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the fullness. One of the things that the Lord desires is that we are filled with the fullness of him. That's the only way he's expressed. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. So it's without that arena of being so filled with the Spirit, we cannot walk in the fullness of Christ. We are easily swayed. We are easily deceived. We're easily compromised. We're easily become complacent and easily. You know, in that presence, nothing can touch me and you. They can try and sway us, but their influence will have no effect because it's nullified in his presence. And one of the things the enemy likes to do is drain us. So he knows that when you get filled, he wants to drain you. He drains you with fear, worry, frustration, works of selfish ambitions, works of the flesh. He always tries to get you into a place where you're working according to your own abilities and talents and not relying on the anointing of Christ. That's why it says, acknowledge me in all of your ways. You know, you can say, oh, Lord, I acknowledge you and still go your own way. He says, follow me. I mean, there was the formula. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. There was the formula of success. And again, we cannot. The first part of denying yourself is to make a choice. Okay, I'm going to deny my. I'm not going to put my agenda. I'm not going to put my way. I'm not going to do anything associated with me. I'm going to do everything associated with him. So I'm going to deny myself. That's the first place that we must start. And prior to even denying yourself, you must have a desire to please God. Because if you don't have a desire to please God, you won't. And once that desire comes to please God, then there must be a desire to be filled with his presence. So one desire leads to another. But the enemy's always going to try to infiltrate your next desire. He's going to try and bring discouragement. He's going to try and tell you that God can't do it, and you got to do it on your own. He's going to try to tell you that God's angry with you. And none of those things are true, because his greatest weapon is deception. So we are in a place right now, we know things that are happening in the world. There is a lot of things getting ready to happen that's not even occurred yet. You know, everything works in cycles. And in the cycles, there is even Sabbaths. We are in a seventh-year Sabbath right now, and I'm not going to get into the teaching of what's going to occur. But it won't end till September of 2015. But we are in a seventh-year Sabbath. And disobedience to the seventh-year Sabbath is disastrous. So we can expect certain things to occur to this country in preparation of what's getting ready to happen. So there's that place where if more demonic activity is being released from darkness, then that means we must be filled with more of God's presence. If you find yourself doing things more according to worldliness compared to according to Christ-like, then you know that you're not staying filled. The moment you go towards anything according to selfishness, rebellion, or disobedience, you know that you are not filled, because you won't go there when you are filled. You just don't. It's impossible. You just say no to those things because you are so filled that you're fulfilled. Does everybody got it? And when you are so filled that you're fulfilled, nothing else can fulfill you. And when you're in that place, now you labor unto the Lord. You don't labor unto you. You're not concerned about the check. You are sure that he will provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Does everybody get this? You're not concerned about all of these other foolish things that entangle us. The only thing you're concerned about is pleasing him. That's a concern. And when we fall from pleasing him, from a desire to please him, we have drifted not only from his presence, but from his will. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 2, would you read it with me? For I have determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I was what? With you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but where? In the power of God. See, the world relies in wisdom of men. We are the offspring of the Creator, rely in the power of God. There's a difference. There's a difference between the power of God and the wisdom of men. When you are relying on the power of God, you have all heaven behind you. Nothing is impossible then. What seems to be the most possible and the most difficult, you see through it knowing that his power can recreate, remove, speak to someone, do anything and everything possible. See, it's when we set our minds in another arena that we begin to lose sight. When we set our minds in our talents and abilities, when we set our minds in the things that you haven't done and you should have done, we begin to lose sight of Christ and his power and what he's done. So we're always looking towards him in everything that we do. We look towards him. That's why he says, acknowledge me in all of your ways, and I will what? Guide your path. Seek the kingdom of God, and all things will what? Be added to you. See, all of these things are available for me and you. I'll never forget one day the Lord said to me, Guy, what can I do? What can I do? Yeah, I was struggling with something. He says, What you don't think I can do that? And then he said, give it to me. And when I gave it to him, it was over with. He fixed it. He arranged it. Did it happen right then and there? No, it didn't. See, sometimes the longer we hold on to things and try and fix them, the longer it takes for him to fix. Because we're still holding on to it. Well, let me just hold on to this. I know I can fix this. Go ahead. Let's see how long you can try and fix this. Let's see how many more hours you need to work to fix this. Let's see how many more days you need to do this. How many more... See, when there's a battle of desire in us all the time. And that desire of battle desires, they have a voice, they have a will, and they have their own purpose. And you and I must make that choice. We grab hold of the desire that we know pleases Him and let go of the desire that displeases Him. It's just like grabbing hold of react until response comes. So you muzzle react, then response comes in, and you let response go. Responding according to the things of Christ and reacting according to the things of the flesh. So in this, He's telling us, look at, we must get to a place where everything's associated with the power of God and not the carnal precepts, the wisdom of men. You know, they have all these think tanks and all of this stuff about what they need to think about. And it's nothing but a flesh tank. That's all they need to do is pray and ask God. They don't need to sit around and think all day long. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. In other words, there are hidden wisdom, mysteries of God, hidden before time, before for me and you, to be released at a specific time for me and you. Everything is connecting into it, so it's released. God has been trying to get our attention from the first moment we took our first breath. You know, you think about it, because we are living in a realm that we really don't belong, because this realm has been changed. It is totally different. Did you ever wonder why you need to sleep? That's the only time you reconnect to the other realm where you came from. Oh, you need to have rest, that's why. Oh, you carnal idiot, that's not true. We're to rest in Him. The reason why we need sleep according to the carnal state, yes, your body must rest to regenerate, but you're regenerating your spirit. That's why you sleep. Does everybody get that? So we're regenerating our spirit while we're sleeping. And God speaks to us in dreams. He reveals things. Even deja vu, which everybody, oh my God, I've been there before. I know exactly what's happening. That's because God showed you in a dream, and you were there in the dream. But it didn't come to pass yet. So when it comes to pass, you know everything that's going on. Oh yeah, yes, I remember that. Why? Because the Lord showed you and took you in a dream. Why? Because in that realm, when you sleep, that spirit realm, there is no space and time. God can move you anywhere He wants. And actually, He can physically manifest in certain areas. It's called the dream line, the dream stream. I've been taken in dreams and been at places and come to find out what I did there manifested physically, and I found out about it later. Because nothing is impossible. So the Lord really wants to get us into that place where we're no longer just bound by this realm. But there's a step away where we walk into another realm where everything is wide open. Wide open. Everything is available. There are storehouses unlimited. There is wisdom and knowledge in the eternal library of God. Everything is available. Where all of our expectation comes from His throne room and not from man. Because you'll always be disappointed by man. Amen? In Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Is it warm in here? Gosh, it's cooking in here. It says cool. That ain't cool enough. Okay. It's on 90. I'm only kidding. Hallelujah. Philippians 3. God's good. Yeah, man. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of what? Dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of molestation or mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in what? Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in what? The flesh. No confidence in the what? Flesh. You will have confidence in the flesh when you become drained of the Spirit. And let me tell you, it only takes a little bit of draining. If you have a cup that's filled to the top, nothing will move you. But as you begin to get drained, it's going to be what's empty there will be replaced with something else. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Though I am, verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he might have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ, the power of Christ, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, that I may have a resurrected life in Christ while I am here in this state of being. I count it all loss that I may be filled with Christ. That is the baptism and the filling and maintaining filled with the Holy Spirit. That is vitally important. You know how many people are not baptized in the Holy Spirit? They think the baptism of the Holy Spirit is getting baptized in water. That's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, there are evidences. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Is everybody there? In verse 2, and it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when you are filled with heaven, you speak heavenly language. Hallelujah. And in this, they changed. They became a new creation by the Creator himself. Now let me share with you that you can be refilled as many times as you want. You can constantly, Lord, baptize me afresh in your fire. That should be part of our prayer every single day. There should be a daily moment of your day where you say, Lord, I need to be filled with your Spirit before I can go any further. I don't want to be misled. I don't want to be works of the flesh. I don't want to rely on myself. I'm going to rely on you. Being filled. Spiritual fullness. In other words, the fullness of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 6, it says something very powerful. It says what? Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Why? Fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness will drain you. You know, we've got to get to a point where we are protecting the presence of God in our life. We are protecting it. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let me share with you that you begin to spiritually sleep as you begin drained. There's an opposite, because while you're being filled with the Spirit, you're awake. When you're being drained with the Spirit, you begin to sleep. See, then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the what? Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. There will be no fear Now, this fear is reverence, honor, and respect without being filled with the Spirit. When people do stupid stuff, when they shoot off at the mouth, when they do the works of the flesh, when they do all of these things, when they put themselves before God, there is no reverence to God. Let me tell you, if there truly is reverence to the Lord, He's always before you in everything we do. Everything we do. Every decision we make, every act, everything we do, He's there. That's called reverence, honor, and respect. That's called the fear of the Lord. Why? Because you are now filled with His presence. If you're filled with His presence is always there, then, isn't it? He's always right there. There is no question about it. Where are you, God? You know He's there. He's less than a breath away. He's always there. When you are truly filled with His presence, He's always there. You're always acknowledging Him. There is constant relationship. This is what gets us through. This is where we don't rely on our own strength. That's why it says, count it all joy as you go through trials and tribulations. Well, the reason why people aren't counting the joy is because that trial has drained them. Instead of rejecting that trial of trying to drain people, what they try to do is they try to fix everything and they get more drained. Instead of stepping away from it and getting filled with the presence of God, getting the wisdom from above, counting it all joy. Oh, Lord, I really made a stupid mistake. I can't believe I did this. But I know You can work it out. Let me tell you, when you are filled to that arena, your mistakes are His problems, not yours. I had to learn that years ago. Oh, Lord, I did it again. I know. What do You want me to do? Turn it over. When you turn everything over to Him, He always returns it with an answer. It's when you don't return it over to Him that you don't get an answer. Oh, I gave it to the Lord. I ain't got an answer yet. You really didn't give it to Him because you're still trying to fix it. If your hand's in it, He can't fix it. Does everybody get it? If your hand's in it, He won't fix it. It's when you truly pull your hand out of all of it and you turn it over to Him, then He gives you an answer. He may divinely fix it. He may speak to someone, or He'll tell you what to do. But somehow it will be fixed because He's the fixer-upper. In Ephesians chapter 1, while we're here, in verse 15, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the what? Spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. And that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. That word believe means follow. To those who what? Follow. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and the might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Who fills all in all. Let me share with you that the battle of desires is conquered when you are filled with Him. Everything is conquered when you are truly filled with Him. Because when you are filled with Him, you have perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. When you are filled with Him, you have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When you are filled with Him, there are riches at His right hand. When you are filled with Him, your identity is from Him. You haven't lost your identity. When you're filled with Him, you're living from the future, not from the past. When you're filled with Him, all things are possible. When you're filled with Him, He's the reconciler. When you're filled with Him, you're in His timeline. When you're filled with Him, you're living in another arena of life. You're living in the place where life is given. In this realm, life is taken. It's different. Do you understand that? In this realm, life is taken. So in this realm, life is always trying to be taken from us. Always. We're always trying to be drained from the life that he gives. It's constant. Things that you see, things that you hear, things that you touch, relationships, all kinds of things can drain you. Your jobs, all kinds of things can drain you. And it's our responsibility to maintain that infilling of his presence. Don't be drunk on... Why do people go to bars to try to get comfort? Why do people turn to the cabinet for medication? Not because of a headache. They're looking for comfort. Always looking for comfort. Oh, I had a stressful day. Why? Because you allowed it to be stressful. If you'd have stepped out of that puddle of affliction and asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit and acknowledge the Lord, no problem. It's not, oh, Lord, hey, how you doing? I need some filling. See you later. No, that's not filling. When you go to the gas station, you don't go by the gas pump, touch it, and run. It didn't do nothing in your car. You go by the gas station, you stop, you have to do something. Cooperate with the pump, man. And then you got to pay for it. Then it's filled. Hello. It's not drive-by. Yeah, fill my car. I ran out of gas. Well, I didn't stop to fill the car. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Oh, glory. Did we read this? Yeah, okay, cool. Galatians 5. And verse 7. Galatians 5, verse 7. Let's speak it together. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now, you were running. You were staying filled, man. You were doing it. You were cooperating, abiding. You were staying filled. What happened? Why'd you step out? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off, for you, brethren, have been called to freedom. Only do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you become consumed by one another. I say then, here we go, walk in the Spirit. In other words, be filled with the Spirit, because you can't walk in the Spirit without being filled in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you desire or wish. Because that desire, there's that battle of desire within us all the time. And it's only conquered by the anointing that breaks the yoke, and that's by staying filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody runs into a circumstance where they don't know what to do. Daily. I get people to ask me, what are you going to do about this? And I don't know, but I will. I may not know right now, but I can tell you, I will know. I will get an answer because I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. I'm going to get filled with the Spirit, and I'm going to wait upon him. And I'm going to wait. And when that opportunity comes, then I'll grab hold of it when I have an answer, and I'll know what to do. Amen? Praise God. Psalm 16. You know, the moment you get up in the morning and you start your day, you are being drained. So you've always got to outfill the draining, because darkness is always pressing. You always it's constant. It's always happening. It's just like dust. Dust is always going on a light bulb, isn't it? But the whole thing is recognizing these things. Because if you can't recognize this, if this is not a reality to you, you'll always stay in the cycle, up and down, emotional, letting your desires and your emotions dictate your decisions in life. And we don't want to be that way, because God can't trust you then. And we want to earn the trust of the Lord. In Psalm 16, is everybody there? In verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be what? Moved. I set the Lord before me. How can he set the Lord before him? Because he's filled with the Spirit. You cannot set the Lord before you without being filled with the Spirit. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy, and at your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. In other words, abundance, provision. Provision. Man, there are things that just blow me away that just happen. Things that just come from, that just happen. Things that are, bills are paid here and there and whatever. Things that just happen by being filled with God's presence. Listen, how do you know God's not going to speak to somebody? I've been at places where people have handed me an envelope and said, here, the Lord told me to do this. I've had people stop at my door, a knock on my door, and say, look, the Lord told me to give you this. I'll never forget one day, I used to go to this morning breakfast on Friday. It was a full gospel businessman meeting. And the Lord said to me, there's a man that's going to come there, and I want you to give him a $1,000 check for his ministry. And I went to the checkbook and went, whoa, yo, are you sure? You know, that leaves us like zero. And he said, I want to bless you. I said, okay. So I took the $1,000 check, put it in my pocket, and I went to, this was on a Friday, and I went to this breakfast, and the guy wasn't there. I'm thinking, what's up? Did I not hear you right? So I just let it go. I said, okay, cool. The next thing I know, the guy walks in. I was, oh, here he comes. So I walked up and said, yes, the Lord told me. He said, I'm to give you this money. And man, be blessed. And I left, and I was, praise God, Lord, I know you got it. Don't matter what's happening around me. I don't care what all those voices are saying. I don't care what those emotions are saying. I'm trusting you because you're faithful and you love me unconditionally. That Monday, somebody came by my house, knocked on my door, and said, look, the Lord told me to give you a $4,500 check. And the Lord said, remember I told you, you plant that seed. I'm always trying to get you something. That's all I'm asking for is your obedience. So reap. I was like, whoa, yes. Well, I started giving everything I had. Now, you can give everything you have, but if God ain't telling you where to give it and do it, you ain't going to get back from it. You just... In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. That's how it started in the book of Acts, right? Everybody got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's not over with. It's still going on. That's what the Lord is sharing with us. Stay filled, stay filled, stay filled. Don't be deceived. Don't be misled. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? So you can walk in the other realm. Because this realm is draining. It's a realm that takes life. It doesn't give life. And his realm gives life. Amen? Now let me tell you that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, certain things begin to happen with you. You become more bold. Your vision becomes clearer. In fact, when Saul became Paul, who his name became Paul, when Ananias laid his hands on him, scales came off of his eyes because he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what happens is when you become drained, scales come back. So your filling determines your vision, whether you can see things all the way through or not. Or else you become short-sighted. And when you become short-sighted, that's dangerous. Then your only concern is, what about me? There's no zeal for the house of God. There's no zeal for the kingdom. Everything is about survival, 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 and survival, not surrender. In Philippians chapter 1, is everybody okay? In verse 9, in verse 1, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment. In all discernment. I'm not here to really discuss about discernment, but I'm going to tell you that there's a fullness of discernment. There's a discernment that can see past, present, and future. That's what discernment is, to see consistently. And that cannot be established without being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled constantly. Your discernment will diminish. That you may approve the things that are excellent and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being what? Filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Let me tell you, the fruits of the Spirit will be manifested when you are filled. Even the gifts of the Spirit are manifested when you are filled. Amen? You become a sign and wonder. Psalm 71. In verse 7 it says what? I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and your glory all the day. Why? Because if your mouth is filled with praise, you're constantly being filled, aren't you? Go to Acts 13 for a minute. Acts 13. In verse 8 it says, but Elmas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith, because Paul was there trying to convince them. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. In other words, God's power was looking at him. At the sorcerer who was trying to come against the proconsul and move them away from faith. And he said, O full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. He was filled with the Spirit, and he saw the son of the devil. See, he saw and attacked. That's what we're to do every morning. We're to see and attack every morning before we leave home. Why? Because we are filled with the Spirit. Amen? In Colossians chapter 1. Because you make the unseen to become seen. Without being filled with the Spirit, you'll be blinded to the unseen. You'll always think that it's your spouse, your pastor, or somebody else that's coming against you, your boss or whatever, while you're lacking somewhere when it's you. You know, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're dead to yourself. There's no offense in being filled in the Spirit, none. Why? Because when you're filled with the Spirit, you're dead to yourself. In Colossians 1, is everybody there? In verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Are you going to fully please him if you're not filled? No. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. You know, there's something about being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's always comfort. Comfort. You remember the other, what was it, the Friday before, when, we were just filled and drunk with the Spirit, and we all had, like, Holy Ghost pillows. Just squeeze. There was, like, there was such comfort. There was such joy. There was such peace in that fullness of his presence. In Psalm 36. Spiritual fullness, or the fullness of the Spirit. In verse 7. You know, the Bible says that Jesus came in the fullness of grace and truth. Grace is God's plan. Amen. So God came with a plan of escape from the deception of the devil and from the wrath of God. The fullness of grace is the plan of God in truth, so people can be free. Only being filled with the Spirit of God is the only place of operation where grace can be manifested. In other words, His plan can be manifested in our lives. It's the only place. Other than that, it's partial. And we want the, it says that He came with the fullness of grace and truth. In other words, we want the fullness of His plan for our life. We want the truth that keeps us free. And that can only be established. You cannot operate in grace and truth without being filled. You may know it, but can't operate in it. Does everybody get it? There's a lot of people that know the truth, but are not free. There's a lot of people that can quote the Bible from front to back and still going to hell because they can't fulfill the will of God. You will not have victory because it's the only way to have victory is through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that's being filled with the Spirit. Because when you are filled, you're home. You're comforted. You trust God completely because there's a reverence, honor, and respect. The fear of the Lord is there. You depart from evil. You can see things through. You can discern. It's a totally different realm to walk in. When you're walking in the Spirit, you are filled with the Spirit, you're living in another realm. It's different. Now you're walking in a place where life is given, not taken. And now you're able to introduce people to the life giver. Hallelujah. Did we do this yet? Verse 7? Psalm 36, verse 7. Read it with me. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. You give them what? Drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. In other words, He gives us drink. How does He give us drink? By we, you and I, praise and worship. He gives us drink. And I want to close in Psalm 37, in verse 1. Psalm 37. Would you read it with me? Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because if you're filled with His Spirit, you're carrying His desires. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, and it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Fullness of His Spirit. Spiritual fullness. That's a desire. And if you don't have that desire, you need to ask for it. Amen? You need to ask for it. Because we are entering a time of much more deception. Much more. The falling away has begun, and it will increase. So we want to stay as close as possible to the Lord. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Lord, that You continue to keep us thirsty and hunger for Your presence. And we ask, Lord, that You always be before us in every decision, in all thoughts, in all words, in all of our deeds. So, Lord, we commit it to You, and we ask for Your perfect will to be manifested in us and through us, in Jesus' name. Prepare your hearts for communion. You may bring your offerings and tithes up.